Are you sitting comfortably? Yes. Right. Once upon a time, there was a stupid young sod called...
Felix!
All right. If you want the boring version. Once upon a time, there was a charming young chap called Richard Herncastle, wanted to be a painter. He took up his uncle's magic act and went on the halls. He's spurned by his sweetheart, the lovely young Nancy. Oh, rats, this drivel. Hey, who asked your opinion? Spurned by his sweetheart, he turns for comfort. Comfort to the beautiful and experienced Julie Blaine. Which, let me tell you, ladies and germs, is what you might call a mistake. Oh, yes. Play the music.
The Classic Serial. Lost Empires by J.B. Priestley. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. Episode 3. Final Curtain.
May it bring us at least half of what we want.
Oh, Nick, why shouldn't we ask for everything we want?
Ask too much, and you may not get a damn thing.
I didn't know you were superstitious.
I'm not, but it pays to be reasonable. Now, I'm just going to have to get my cigars. You two get off to bed, and I don't mean the same bed.
What's coming, Nick?
I want to have a think and a smoke. Got an idea. Something new.
New illusion?
Yes. Something to really make him sit up. The ones that aren't half dead, at least.
What's he going to be like?
No more questions. But if you want to give it a name, call it the Two Dwarfs Mystery.
I'm not sure I like the sound of that.
Oh, no, I don't. As if one of them wasn't enough.
Barney's not been bothering you, has he?
I'm far too scared of Nick for that, thank goodness.
Good. Promise me you'll let me know if he does, will you?
You're really nice, you know that.
Sissy.
You are. Happy New Year, Dick.
Happy New Year.
I know what you've been doing, you know. I can smell her perfume.
What about him?
You know, there's something going on. But I don't think he knows what. And I won't tell him. But you're a very silly boy, Dick. We've all warned you.
And so they had. But then it had been too early for warnings.
And now it was too late.
What's happening to you, lad?
Uncle Nick?
Don't go Nick me. These last few weeks you've looked as if you found tuppence and lost a shilling. Well, what is it?
I think it's the winter.
Hmm?
You know, dark days, no painting, all that.
Hmm. Right. I was on the phone this morning to Joe Bosenby, remember him? My agent. You didn't like him.
I didn't know you knew that.
You think I don't notice things? Anyway, this is what's happening. We're playing 2 more weeks, then we've got a week out.
What, you mean a week off? No shows at all?
Then the next 8 weeks, we're playing London.
London?
What are you, a parrot? Holborn, Kilburn, Stratford, Acne, Finsbury Park, Wood Green. Good audiences, more brains than most. You'll enjoy it. I always do.
What's happening about Biggs?
Sissy's going out to see her family, and I'm already fixed up with some friends. You have to make your own arrangements. Not too much of a hardship, I hope.
Oh, no, of course not. The build stays the same, does it?
No, there's one change. Joe's lined up a separate set of dates for Tommy Beamish.
Separate where?
Oh, still London. Just a different circuit. He's never going to be all that far away, I'm sorry to say.
Right. Where do we go first? Before London, I mean?
Portsmouth next week. Then Plymouth. Yes, I thought that'd make you look up. They put on a good pantomime in Plymouth. So I'm told.
Dick, I'm so glad to see you.
How are you?
I'm fine. After that silly quarrel, I'd hoped you'd write. Were you inside? Did you enjoy it?
Not much.
Oh.
Except for you. You were worth all the rest put together.
You know I hate it when you say that.
But it's true.
Come on, Nancy.
Let's go somewhere and talk properly.
Well, I'd love to, but I can't not stay.
Nancy!
So I promised someone. Coming!
Oh, tomorrow then. Please, Nancy.
I'll meet you at the Grand Hotel after the matinee. How's that?
The Grand?
What's wrong with the Grand? It's lovely. We can have tea and cake.
Yeah, all right. What time?
5:30. Dick.
What?
Nothing. Something silly.
Oh, come on. What were you going to say?
It was just... You seem different somehow. Are you? Different?
Come on. Are we delayed?
Sorry, Dick. Tell me tomorrow.
What are you doing here, Dick? Did you know we were staying here?
Yeah, I knew.
Suppose Tommy sees you.
Well, why shouldn't he? I've got as much right to be here as he has.
You know perfectly well what I mean. Anyway, answer the question. Why are you here?
I'm waiting for Nancy Ellis.
I wondered if you'd try to see her.
Of course.
Well, there's no need for that sort of tone. I asked you if you were serious about her and you said no.
And I meant it.
Then why do you want to see her again?
Well, I don't know. Curiosity, probably. It wouldn't have made any difference to us.
Wouldn't have?
She hasn't turned up.
Oh. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
Dick, listen. I've some wonderful news. Next week in London, the week off, Tommy's not going to be there.
What, not at all?
He's gone off to Brighton with his racing friends and he doesn't want me to go with him, thank God. Darling, we can have the whole week together.
Here we are, here we are, here we are again. The specs that Max and Tommy and Jack can do. When the trouble brewing, when the something doing, are we down a hobbit?
No, that's the whole
time. So here we are, here we are, here we are again. Fixed and will and feeling as right as rain. Never mind the weather. Now then, all together. Hello, hello. Here we are again. Hop. That's the business. Don't forget the hop. Jump, send it with an eight.
Back to work on Monday. What's so funny?
You are. Sound like an old married man on the last day of his fortnight off back sea. Hey, up, Mother. Back to work on Monday. You do know how much this week has meant to me, don't you?
And to me, too.
Truly.
Yeah.
Not just because of this.
What?
This.
No, not just because of that.
Good. Good. I can't tell you how dreadful it is with Tommy.
Julie.
Before I met him, before... Well, before I left the theatre, I was with someone else. Most wonderful gentleman. He left me. I still don't know why. To go from him to Tommy. God, I don't know how I stood it. If I hadn't found you.
If we hadn't found each other.
You're a dear, sweet boy, Dick. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Tell me.
You bitch! You are a bitch!
Oh, Mr. Breeman!
Shut your mouth!
Let's go now! No!
And that's for you, Phil. Bitch! You want to know what I've been doing all this week, eh? Eh? I've been rehearsing someone else. That's what I've been doing. Because you're out on your bleeding ass, Miss Blaine.
Tommy!
Julie. Oh my God. Julie, can you hear me?
No, go away, go away.
Julie. I can't leave it like this. Let me see.
No! Don't look at me.
Oh, Julie, don't be silly. Turn around, come on.
No! No!
Julie!
You bloody fool. Christ's sake, just go away.
Some good job is going to find you someday. Some little job will creep behind you one day. Then he'll send for his germ friend, and all your earthly trouble ends. Some little job is going to get you someday.
I don't care what happened to her. She asked for it.
Oh, for God's sake.
Shut up. But if Bigness thinks he can knock a nephew of mine around and get away with it, he's wrong.
Uncle, I don't want the police involved.
Did I mention the bloody police? Grow up, lad.
I do hope everything will be all right. I mean, however would I manage without my lovely, fluffy little Fifi?
Oh, this is a posh road and no mistake. Hey, there's some money here. Let's hope one of them's got a job for me. Now, which house looks like it needs a plumber?
You see this?
What?
What's that, lad?
Tommy Beamish, music hall's clown prince of chaos, lived up to his billing last night.
No time to lose! What's the problem exactly?
You are on, mate!
That bad, eh?
The celebrated plumber sketch was disrupted by several unruly elements in the chief of seats, who repeatedly interrupted the performance.
Oh, the stories when that happens, it makes your blood run.
Shut up, dear.
He's been waiting hours for you to get here.
Well, it's the bus. They're terribly slow, you know.
No, she's absolutely yes.
Oh, say no more, sir.
Nor was this the first such instance. At every house this week, Mr. Beamish has appeared to find disfavour with his previously adoring audience. Last night, however, matters became rather unsavoury.
Unsavoury?
Well, that's what he said.
Right, that's enough! That's enough! If you don't like this show, you can get out, do you, then? I am not drunk. Will you listen to me? I am not drunk. Then you set him up, I'll call myself fire. I will. I bloody will. The story is still your bloody mouth.
It says his London tour might well be cut short.
Shouldn't be surprised.
Uncle.
Come on, girl. See you later, Richard.
Julie! Come on, Julie, have you heard the news? Damn. Oh, Julie. Oh, sorry.
Yeah?
I was looking for Julie Blaine.
Well, she's gone.
Gone? Where? When?
A couple of days ago. Got a job last minute tour somewhere.
Well, do you know where?
Abroad somewhere. South Africa, I think she said, yeah.
But she can't have.
Sorry. Is she a friend of yours, then? Know her well, do you?
Not very well. No.
Now, I'm a funny sort of chap, I never like to be mixing up myself in other people's company. Whenever I'm a-walking out, I like to be alone. I'm as happy as can be when I'm upon me own. No matter where I am, if I'm 1,000 miles away, someone sort of come and smack me on the back and say, "What's your me, old grandson? How are you? What's your me, old grandson?"
There we are, not the most imposing trumpet in the world, is it, lad?
It's your balls and the artistes. So that's all this is about.
Oh, so you know why we're here, do you?
Obviously to see your agent.
Well done, Sherlock. And why?
I suppose to find out about the next part of the tour. I don't know.
Exactly, you don't know, so don't pretend you do. It's a surprise.
I tell you, Nico boy, there's not another agency could have found you so many.
The room was full of dwarfs.
All right.
There seemed at first to be scores of them, but actually there were a dozen. All the same physical type as Barney. Big heads, small bodies, tiny legs.
For years afterwards, this room and its contents popped up in my dreams.
Right, gentlemen. Have your names and details of your previous jobs ready, please. Who's first?
As I watched Uncle Nick, a busy, stooping giant, I felt something change. Something crept into that room, into that afternoon, into that life I was leading. Something I couldn't put a name to, but definitely didn't like.
Cold, man. Beer's frozen shut, Harry.
No, Uncle Nick, sorry. Did he say something?
Say hello to Philip Tubby.
Hello, Mr. Tubby.
Mr. Rancastle, I'm very grateful to you, Uncle Nick, for this employment.
I'm sorry, forgive me. You're joining us.
If you've been listening, you'd know, yes, he's joining us.
Straight away, Mr. Tubby.
No, sir, your uncle is very kindly paying me a retainer until he needs me full time.
The two dwarf illusions.
Sherlock strikes again. All right, thank you. The position's filled.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
Mr. Bosonby.
What can I do for you, lad?
Nancy Ellis. Can you tell me where she's performing at the moment?
No, lad, I can't.
Don't you remember her? The act's called Susie, Nancy and the Gentleman.
Of course I remember her. How far do you think I'd have got in this lark if I couldn't put a name to a set of good legs, lad?
Well, then?
According to that stuck-up sister of hers, I wasn't classy enough for them. They gave me the elbow. I have no idea where they are.
Huh? Hello?
I know it's late. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I must talk to you.
Come in, Susie. Want something to eat? There's some fish and chips.
What I'd really like is a drink.
Yeah, I've only got bottled beer.
I'll put some gin in it. Where'd I put it? Have you ever had beer with gin in it, Dick? It's called dog's nose.
And years afterwards, When I'd settled down to painting in the dales and often walked miles across the moors, my favourite drink when I at last reached a pub was a large gin in a pint of draft beer. And more often than not, when most of it had gone down, I remembered Sissy visiting me that night in my cold, colourless, characterless little rented flat in South London.
What do you think of me, Dick? I want your honest opinion.
Where should I start?
I'm a girl, aren't I? I'm not asking if I'll do for a bank manager.
Well, your face is very nice.
Oh, please. I told you I want it straight.
Your face isn't bad, and your figure's even better. I think maybe you don't always make the best of yourself.
Not like Miss Julie Bloody Blaine, of course.
Sissy.
Except when she had to take hiding from Tommy Beamish. Oh, yeah. Nick told me. He still tells me a few things.
Do I stop now?
She walked out on you, didn't she? And I'll bet you can't see why. She couldn't face you after what happened. Oh, Dick. If it'd been me, I wouldn't have run away.
What are we doing now, Sissy? Do I go on? Shall I tell you how kind and considerate you are? How you always know the right thing to say?
You don't have to be so sarcastic. Oh, Dick, I know I'm silly. But you do like me a little bit, don't you? I'm so miserable. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm staying at home, don't you, while we're in London?
Yeah, I know.
I hate that, that bloody little house, and most of the time it's like a screaming pigsty. But Nick don't want me back with him. You don't want me either.
And a right old mess it would be if I did, wouldn't it?
I know, I know. I understand something's better than you. Like, I'm not the same anymore.
What do you mean, Sissy?
I mean, I'm not the same. I thought it was home that was different. That's why I couldn't stand it. But it's not. It's me. There's a fella lives 2 doors down. I was looking to. He used to be gone on me. Still is, he says. But it seems so dreary now. Give me a kiss, Dick.
It's not a good idea, Sissy.
Please. Just a kiss, just one. No, not like that. A real kiss.
Now, I think you should go.
Which one were you thinking of?
What?
Wicked old Julie or sweet little Nancy?
I've got other things to think
about.
Well,
you shouldn't have, not at this time of night.
Julie's gone abroad and I've no idea where Nancy Ellis is now.
You know where I am?
Sissy!
I've got everything they've got!
Sissy, will you please listen to me?
If you don't believe me, I'll show you.
Sissy! Sissy! How long would it take for Uncle Nick to find out? And then where would we be? Now, come on, I'll walk you to the underground. Come on. Here, I'll get your coat.
Has Nick ever said anything to you about getting rid of me?
No. No, of course not.
You sure?
Yeah, of course I'm sure. Look, don't forget your gin. There's still some left.
Yeah, and I know what to do with it. Well, come on, then.
Her hair was dishevelled, her eyes shuttered, and her mouth a vague dark pout in the blur of her face. Afterwards, I always thought of that image as a portrait, but not then. Then, painting was completely forgotten. With Julie gone, there was a huge, dreary gap right at the centre of my life. For the most part, I spent my days just wandering aimlessly. And if I felt anything at all, I felt a prisoner, trapped in a monstrous city that didn't want me, except for 20 minutes twice nightly, dressed up as a ludicrous Indian.
Somehow the London tour dragged itself to its end, and then something happened that finally made me realise what I suppose I'd known all along.
My dear Dick, I'm sure you understand now why I didn't want to see you after that night. The real reason I'm writing is to explain what happened at Plymouth. Why Nancy, poor child, didn't turn up at the Grand. It was because I'd already been round to see her that afternoon and told her that she needn't bother. I told her all about us. It was the bitchiest thing to do. She was terribly upset when I told her, which ought to tell you something. Please keep painting, Dick dear. You're still affectionate, Julie.
Dick, you all right?
Yeah, I am.
You're going to show me that bill?
What? Oh, yes, of course, sorry.
Let's have a look. Buffy's dancing dogs.
You can keep them.
Oh, they're sweet, mate.
Uncle Nick's new motor car hadn't been delivered in time for him to drive himself up to Burrington, the first date on our new tour.
So he was in the train for once, with those ordinary mortals slumming it.
As the spring sun flickered in through the steam wafting past the window, he made a fascinating picture. All set brows, stern lips, angles and shadows, and glare.
Flying coal mask?
Yep.
So you have little Noni rubbing herself up against you again?
And then it's on.
Last on before the interval. Best place to be. No prying busybodies in the wings waiting to come on and back to the digs in decent time for supper.
Nothing interesting in the first one.
Politics, foreigners, tedious rubbish.
Ricardo again. Jennings and Johnson again. More men to dear little Noni.
And Lily Farish, top of the bill.
Wonder if she's nice.
She's bloody boring and so's her act. Putrid. What's the matter with you then?
Nothing. That was the word his lot used about poor old Harry Burrard. Putrid.
So?
Nothing, I said.
No!
Learn what it means to fall foul of Ganga Dun. Ah! Go from my sight! Disappear! Disappear! Go!
Obey my...
What the...
What the hell do you think you're playing at, eh?
I'm sorry, Charlie. I'm sorry. It's the spell.
As for you, Rick, get out, Barney.
Yes, sir.
Get out.
Charlie. Thank you, sir. Yes.
As for you, lad, you are doing my act. And if you want one of your own, then take yourself off and invent one.
I was wrong then, was I?
What do you think?
Well, it seemed to me I was saving the illusion, maybe the all act.
Well, don't ever do it again. Now, show me those stilts.
Well, Barney's complained about this before.
You think my memory's going now, do you? The release levers are jammed. Find some bloody palace of varieties. God knows why Bosonby booked us into this hole.
Oh.
Breakfast no good.
What the devil are... Oh.
Which one are you?
What do you mean?
Which one are you? There's three of you at this address. Ollington, Mapes and Castle. So?
Well, I'm Earncastle. Ollington and Mapes are still in bed. What were we supposed to have done?
Inspector Furness wants to see you. 11:30 sharp on the stage at the palace.
Why?
You'll be told.
Mr. Ollington won't go parading for the police unless I can give him a good reason for it.
Then tell him there's been a body found. I'm sorry if this causes you any inconvenience. The body of a young woman, subsequently identified as Miss Noni Colmar, was discovered by the theatre fireman early this morning. Evidence suggests that she was strangled.
Murdered, the rape. I thought she was murdered.
Evidence suggests that she was strangled towards the end of the second house last night. A time when it's extremely difficult for a member of the public to gain access in the backstage area.
Richard, what are you saying, Copper?
What I'm saying, Mr. Johnson, is that in my opinion, one of you standing on this stage is a callous, brutal murderer.
Mr. Holland.
All right, you two. Come in.
Mr. Onton, Miss Mapes, Mr. Herncastle, gentlemen.
Sonny's is son Ben Barney.
Right. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting. There's a lot to be organised, you understand.
Of course we do. Now look, Inspector. We come on at the end of the first half. We're out of the theatre by 10:30.
I know you do, Mr. Onton. I've seen the show. Very clever.
Aye.
What time did you leave last night?
The three of us left about 10:10. We were sitting down to our supper before 12:30.
At the Victoria Hotel. You can easily check on that.
Please, ma'am.
Ask him. Ask Sam Hayes here. He's been with me for years.
Well, Mr. Hayes.
Well, we'd been gone by 10:05. Stage doorkeeper saw us. Check with him.
I already have.
Perhaps a tramp got in. Yeah, a tramp.
This is a popular theory these days. That perhaps a tramp got in.
Huh?
Stage doorkeeper saw these two, not him.
You never see these. Oh, fine, I'm sorry. We never see them. Sorry.
Shut it, Barney. Sam, did he leave with you two last night?
Yes, he did.
And where did you go?
Where we've been every night this week. The Vaults of the Sun, just round the corner. We'd like to have a pint or two after we've finished.
Yeah, after we finish every night this week. A pint.
I could do with one right now. Right, I doubt if we'll be bothering you again.
So she was seen alive after we left.
Well, you're a sharp one, Mr. Alden.
Aye.
Can you give me any information that might be useful?
Yes, I can, and so could young Richard here.
Oh, yes?
This is the second time I've had these colmars going round with me. The girl was nothing in my line, but she were a ripe little piece, very fond of pushing her tits around and waggling her arse.
You go along with that, do you, Mr. Herncastle? Well, yes, she was a born teaser.
And she teased somebody once too often. Stupid little bitch.
Bloodthirsty lot, aren't they?
Oh, hello, Inspector. Yeah, I think we are. We weren't doing this sort of business before.
They've come to work out which of you did it. Shouldn't you be getting ready?
Not yet, it doesn't take long.
Ah.
Have you checked our stories yet?
And everyone else's.
That was quick.
Well, you're only here 2 more days, am I right?
Yeah, it's off to Blackpool next week.
For a fortnight, yes.
So we're in the clear, are we?
Didn't I say? Oh, yes, yes. Your stories all turned out to be true. Funny, that.
Funny?
Well, so did everybody else's. Perhaps she strangled herself.
Don't get up.
No, no calls, bloody ghouls.
Right, it's all right.
Richard, come with me.
Didn't go so badly, did it? That man's dreadful, though.
You've been talking to that damned inspector.
Well, he talked to me. What were I supposed to do? Walk away and ignore
him? Yes.
Oh, how would that look?
Let him worry about that.
Well, hasn't got enough to worry about.
He's got his own brains. He doesn't need any help from you. Keep away from him. And forget about the old business. 2 more days and we'll be well away from this damn place.
I'd been to Blackpool before, of course.
Nearly everybody went there from the West Riding. Most of them were so determined to spend every last penny they'd saved, they took care to pay their landladies in advance. In that early summer of 1914, the town was packed with addicts.
It was strange being there, but not being on holiday. To breathe the strong sea air, and yet not be rushing across the sands, a boy again.
Frightening, isn't it?
Inspector, you took me by surprise.
Did I? Bad habit.
Well, what are you doing here? Surely this isn't your... What do you call it? Your jurisdiction?
Perhaps I'm on holiday.
And perhaps you're still checking on people's stores.
Perhaps I am.
Why is it frightening?
Well, I dare say I don't see what you see.
Oh? And what do you see, then?
Suppose you have a fair bit of free time, you stage people, afternoons and such.
A fair bit?
Yes. Suspicious characters.
Pardon?
That's what I see, Mr. Herncastle. Mr. Allenton, your uncle.
What about him?
I spoke to him again, you know, back in Warrington.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Oh, he didn't mention it. Yes, I spoke to him again. I spoke to him. Not too much happened the other way around. Why doesn't he want to talk about the murder?
Surely you don't think he's a suspicious character?
I think everybody's a suspicious character, particularly if they don't want to talk. Enjoy yourself, Mr. Herncastle, but be careful.
Inspector?
There's enough clap in this town to lay up a brigade of cavalry, horses and all. Good afternoon.
Furness, here?
Yeah. He thinks you're a suspicious character.
Don't joke about it.
I'm not joking.
I told you to keep away from that man. Well,
perhaps you should have told him to keep away from me.
That was lovely.
Go to bed.
But I haven't finished my tea.
Well, take it up with you and be sharp about it. I want to talk to Richard. Didn't you hear what I said?
There's nothing wrong with my hearing. Good night, Dick.
Good night, Sissy. Don't forget your tea.
I don't want it.
Or is that really necessary?
Yes.
Well, what is it you want to talk about?
When I first showed you the plans for the vanishing cyclists, do you remember what you said?
That I thought it was brilliant. I still do.
And what about when I told you how it was done?
I said something like, they'll never be fooled. I thought it was too simple.
And what did I say to you?
Oh, cool, mate, what's all this about?
Answer the question.
You said, I know what will fool people and what won't. That's my job.
Yes. I'm one of the three best magicians in the country. Maybe the best. But am I really any good?
What do you mean?
I mean, it's all too easy. Everything's under my control. The lights, the scenery, everything.
Well, yeah, of course it is.
And you've seen what they're like. The stupid buggers, a trained monkey could fool them. I'm ashamed to take the money sometimes. It's practically a crime.
Well, you can't change any of that, can you?
No? Suppose I get rid of the scenery and the lights and music. Get rid of a theatre altogether. And suppose I have an audience that's sharp, really sharp. Brains as good as mine. Now, that would be something like a challenge, wouldn't it? Somebody to get my teeth into. But could I do it? Could I do it?
I don't know. You're thinking of trying this, are you? Sometime.
Sometime? Perhaps I've already started.
Yeah?
Everybody decent?
Oh, come in, Sissy. There's only me here.
Oh, good.
I have to carry on getting ready.
Of course. I remember the first time you did that. Pink in the face like some girl, you say.
I didn't.
Oh, not out loud, no. Dick, what's going on?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Something's going on and Nick won't tell me what. All these private talks with you. What's wrong with him lately?
Sissy, you're imagining things.
Don't tell me that. I know him much better than you do.
There's nothing wrong,
please,
honestly.
Tell me. I want to help him.
Help him? Sissy, you know what he's like.
2 years ago, we were playing Brighton, and he got ill, really ill. Couldn't eat or nothing, gasping for breath. But of course, he still got through the act, even though it made him worse the rest of the time.
I can't imagine him being sick.
I had to look after him every minute. I dressed him and undressed him, put his makeup on for him, everything. And he was so ashamed. So miserable.
Yeah, he would be.
You don't understand either, do you? He was the same.
Understand what?
He needed me. He really needed me. It was wonderful. He needed me. And I loved him so much. And I still do. But now he won't let me help him. And neither will you. And I know there is something wrong. So don't go telling me there isn't.
Sissy, listen. You remember ages ago he mentioned a new illusion, the Two Dwarfs mystery?
Yes.
Well, he's been trying to work it out. And he can't. It's driving him crazy.
Is that really it?
Yeah, it really is.
It's not about getting another girl for the act.
No, whatever gave you that idea?
Everything.
Well, you're wrong. It's not about that.
Solemn promise.
Solemn promise.
There's another fellow looks like me.
Yes, another fella looks like me. Yes, a matter like that we might be twins, and I get the blame for all his sins. There'll be trouble by and by, you see. I shall be the M.U.D. Don't think it's me, love. Don't talk, it isn't. Another fella looks like me.
Well, what's been happening?
Nothing much, sir. Second show's about half over.
What about between the houses?
Some of them came out of the stage door, some didn't. Same as every night this week. I've got the names. Oh, Ern Castle went off in a car.
Oh, weird.
He was gone about 10 minutes. He came back, same car, with an elderly gent, Indian.
Describe him.
6 foot, maybe 6 foot one, turban, long robe, Indian. The Ern Castle lad helped him out of the car and they went inside. 4 or 5 minutes later, the two Americans came down. They looked
never
straight at
the damned Americans. Did you see Ullerton?
Yes, after 20 minutes or so. He came down with Erncastle and the old foreign gent. He said, "Been a great pleasure, Dr. Das. Thank you."
What did the Indian say?
Nothing. Actually, he looked a bit shook up. Of course, that Ullerton...
Shook up? What do you mean? Shook up?
Shook up? He was dodgy enough on his pins before, but he was shaking like a leaf when he came back down.
Then what?
Erncastle and this Das got in the car and drove off.
How long before Erncastle got back?
Well, about 5 minutes ago.
Say that again.
10:32, about 5 minutes ago.
And nothing much has been happening. You bloody fool.
Inspector Furness, where'd you come in?
Inspector.
Where have you been?
Well,
What's it to you, where it's been?
I'm talking to him, not you. Why did you miss the second performance?
Well, I had to take care of Dr. Dast. He wasn't well.
Have we wanted to speak to this Dast?
Now, that could be difficult.
I bet it could.
Since his boat sailed half an hour ago.
Where's your dwarf?
In the next dressing room.
Unless he's gone, of course.
You, Erncastle, go and get him.
Oh, not just.
That's your point, Richard. Run his errand for him.
All right.
Care for a drink, Inspector? Oh, no. Not on duty, isn't it? Pity. Always a good audience, Blackpool. Good health. The performance went very well tonight.
Which one?
Ah, Richard, there you are. Catch him.
Yes, Uncle, it is. Good evening, sir.
I believe you wanted to see me. Who the hell are you?
My name is Philip Cuby.
There's no call to be rude for me.
Where's the other one?
Which other one, Sam or Ben?
The other dwarf, damn it.
Barney? Oh, he's been gone some time.
He's been seen all this week. I've got a man in the theatre. He was on stage tonight, for God's
no,
sake.
No, that was Mr. Cuby here. It's the Indian get-up. Makes it difficult to tell him apart.
How long have you been in this act?
I was engaged by Mr. Ollington on the 14th of February.
That wasn't what I asked. How long have you been here in Blackpool?
That isn't what you asked either, Inspector, but the answer is 4 days.
From the start of our second week.
Where's Barney now?
I've no idea. Try Joe Bosenby's artiste in the Charing Cross Road.
I may not know exactly what damn stunts have been going on here, but I'll find him, you know. Don't make any mistake about it. And once I've found him, I'll make him talk.
The problem's usually stopping him talking.
And then you'll be in it. Up to your neck. Good night.
Gentlemen, a toast. The mystery of the disappearing dwarf. Not bad, eh?
I've always liked it here.
Me too. Once all the stupid sods have crawled off to bed for the night. Got him away all right, did you?
Captain Freeler was expecting us, just like you said. Yeah. They were sailing about half an hour after we got there.
How was Barney?
Gibbering, frightened out of his wits.
Poor little bugger. Oh, you did bring the stilts back, I hope, and all the Indian gear.
Of course.
Of course. When did you realize? Before I told you, that's for sure.
Not all that long before. I was slow. Who else could it have been?
No one. I want to thank you for your help, lad. He isn't a murderer. He'll never do it again. He's just a tormented little sod who had the bad luck to get entangled with a stupid, cruel teaser. And what's done's done. Couldn't allow them to drag him through the courts, make him out to be a monster and then hang him. What then?
I was just thinking. You never really get to know people, do you? Not deep down.
Not someone like Barney. No.
No, not someone like Barney, no.
That first week in August, when it began. The act was better than ever.
Chiefly because Philip Toobin was much quicker and more professional than poor Barney had ever been.
So Uncle Nick ought to have been well pleased with life. But of course he wasn't. At the beginning, I think he saw the war as something bigger, more impressive and more demanding even than he was. A rival.
As soon as we were in the war, Uncle Nick changed the ending of the act, producing a string of flags from an empty box.
Children's party rubbish.
And finishing, of course, with a gigantic Union Jack.
It got more applause than all the clever illusions put together.
I should have made it a German flag. Just think of the fun they'd have had throwing stones at it and spitting. Bloody idiots belong in a madhouse.
There they go.
Hooray for the Navy. Hooray for Kitchener. Listen to them. You'd think they'd want a free trip to Margate. A brand new bit of excitement at last. Hooray.
Of course people are excited.
Oh, so you think it's all a bit of a lark too, do you? All brass bands and patriotic songs, and Kitchener wants you.
You talk as if you weren't on our side, Uncle.
No, that's not it, lad.
Then what is it? No,
not now. Come on. We should be getting ready. A lot of slacking, last house of the week or no.
See you soon, then.
Hang on, Richard.
Uncle?
Message for the others. When they've got changed, I want to see them back here, you too.
All right. Can I tell them why?
You can tell them this. I want a good performance tonight. A bang, slap up, splendiferous performance.
Learn what it means to fall foul of Ganga Dun. Go from my sight. Disappear.
Now, Sam, Ben, I know you'd rather have a couple of pints of deadly strong ale, but you'll just have to do with this tipple of mine for once. Everyone got a glass?
Yep.
Well, you're very good health.
Good
health.
Good health.
Thanks for good a great health. Last performance.
What?
Yes, it's the last.
What? What are you talking about, Uncle?
I don't explain anything. But first, hand these round, girls. There's 2 weeks' money of those and a bit more besides. Right, and here's the real news. I'm going to America. It's all fixed.
But Mr. Rollington...
No questions. Let me finish. I don't like this war. I don't believe in it. But now it's started, we won't be able to stop it, so I'm going to America. Sissy, too.
How long have you known?
Only today. Isn't it great?
Richard, this doesn't apply to you, just to the others. I'm going to do something you won't have heard from me before. I'm going to apologise. I can't take you with me, and I hate throwing you out of work, but it's not a bad time to be doing it to you. There'll be no shortage of jobs. I can guarantee you that. So get it out of your heads that I'm leaving you in the lurch. I'm not, but I am leaving you.
So I can still see him now. He was wearing a light suit and his face was pale and rather shiny, so that his fierce black eyebrows and glittering dark eyes were thrown into strong relief. He solemnly shook hands with all three of them, then stood back so I could do the same.
Goodbye, Mr. Toobin.
Mr. Hardcastle, it's been a great pleasure.
Sam? Ben?
Mr. Hardcastle?
Furnace never made you admit that Barney didn't leave with you that night.
He went on as long, enough obstinate sort of man he was. But me and Ben's just as obstinate, right, Ben?
That's right.
It was one of the very few times I ever heard him say anything, and I never heard him say anything again.
You pop off downstairs too, girl. Give them a hand at the packing up.
All right. Do you like it?
Well, lad, you must know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think I do.
I want you to come with me. I have a 40-week contract, a big tour, then New York for a month. Great experience for you. We're sailing in 10 days' time.
I'm sorry, Uncle Nick, I'm enlisting.
You're what?
Enlisting. Joining Kitchener's new army.
You must be out of your bloody mind.
Uncle.
I can give you a dozen good reasons why you shouldn't do it. Now, just give me one good reason why you should.
It's hard to explain. I don't want to be a soldier. I wish there wasn't a war. And I don't feel particularly patriotic. All this king and country stuff, it don't make me want to cheer.
I should hope not. A lot of dog shit. Go on.
But if I went to America, I'd be miserable. I'd feel as though I'd run away. I don't blame you for going.
Thanks very much. Bloody good of you.
But, well, I'm young and I live here. And I ought to take my chance, like all the others are doing.
It sounded lame to me and I knew it. Partly because the decision, like so many decisions, wasn't entirely conscious and rational.
But also because I couldn't tell him the other part of it. That this life with him now seems stale and sterile. It wasn't my life the way it was his.
You're the same as all the others. You think it's going to be some kind of picnic.
No, I don't.
Do you remember the old Hindu I told you about came round to the Colosseum?
Yeah, I do. Seems like half a lifetime ago.
He went on and on about blood. Rivers of blood.
In India, yeah.
Just before he left, he said something else. Don't think that you'll escape it, he said. No one will escape the blood.
And you think he meant this?
This war isn't going to last months, it's going to last years. And every year it'll get worse. We're in for the biggest bloody massacre of all time, and you can't even wait for them to come and fetch you.
I'm sorry, my mind's made up.
Then you can go to Bukhari.
In the morning, I helped them load their baggage into the car. Then I kissed Sissy and I shook my Uncle Nick's hand. The street was very quiet. It was a warm and sleepy Sunday morning. I watched them drive away, and I never set eyes on them again.
So that was the end of my life on the stage. I joined the army.
The West Yorks, as I happened to be in Leeds.
I embraced myself to be a hero.
I was ready, or so I thought, to face shot and shell and cavalry charges. I hadn't bargained for the reality.
2 months of drilling and yelling and makeshift uniforms and limping and tents and endless noisy arguments over nothing.
Then, one evening.
The evening of Sunday, the 25th of October.
Sunday, the 25th of October.
It was announced that we were going to be given a treat. Some West End performers were coming down to entertain us in our drafty old recreation hall, there in the enormous camp in Surrey.
There was a stage of sorts and a piano of sorts, and there was a baritone, a comedian, an American woman with an enormous mouth.
And a wonderfully pretty, rather short, fair-haired young girl.
I'll be your sweetheart if you will be mine. All my life I'll be your valentine. Bluebells I've gathered, keep them and be true. When I'm a
Nancy!
You're doing back here now. Nancy! This is officers, isn't it?
It's raining, it's pouring down. I have to go back outside to get back here. Oh, no, I do.
Oh.
I love you.
I love you too.
And she said it as if she meant it forever. And she did. And so did I.
In Lost Empires by J.B. Priestley, dramatised for radio by Bert Cools, Tom Baker played Nick Ollerton, better known as Ganga Dunn, the magnificent Maharaja of mystery. Old Richard was played by Brian Pringle, and Richard Herncastle by Richard Hollick. Stephen Frost was Tommy Beamish, the clown prince of chaos, and Bridget Forsyth was Julie Blaine, well known in the West End. Inspector Furness was Russell Dixon, and Sissy Mapes, Debbie McAndrew. Nancy Ellis of Susie, Nancy and the Gentleman was Catherine Hunt. Jennings and Johnson were played by Russell Dixon and John Lloyd Fillingham. Barney by Mike Edmonds, and Sam by Freddie Davis. Other parts were played by members of the company. Original music was composed by Chris Monks and performed by David Windle, Steve Rushton, David Browning, and Julia Hanson. Our special thanks to the Oldham Coliseum and the people of Oldham for their contribution during location recording. Lost Empires was directed in Manchester by Kate Rowland. Thank you.